listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. Due to the temporary closure of in-station activity at KBOO, meetings will be conducted online via public video conferencing unless otherwise noted. A public link and phone number to attend the meetings are available on our website. The Development and Events Committee meets on the fourth Monday of the month at 4:30 p.m. Please visit our website at kboo.fm to verify if a meeting is being held.
Hi, and welcome back to Rural Roots Rising. My name is Hannah Harrod, and I'm an organizer with the Rural Organizing Project. This is our second episode of Season 2, and our first Community Media Spotlight. This month, we're going to start getting to know rural media makers, starting with Lanisha Duke and her show, Rural Race Talks, on Coast Community Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Lanisha Duke, and thank you so much for joining us this morning for Rural Race Talks. I'm excited to be here with you today, and I just want to first say thank you to Coast Radio for providing an opportunity for our community to have a platform to have some courageous conversations around race in rural communities. I want you to know that you can call in 503-325-0010. Whether you're listening on 91.9 FM in Astoria, 89.5 FM in Tillamook, or online at coastradio.org, I just want to say again, thank you for joining us.
If you've been listening for a while, you know that Rural Roots Rising is both a podcast and a radio show, airing on 19 community radio stations. It's also an ongoing experiment in building up our media skills across rural Oregon. Part of what we're focusing on in Season 2 is amplifying rural radio shows and digging into how they do what they do in the hopes of building up our collective capacity for rural media making and supporting the work of the incredible community radio stations we partner with. Rural Race Talks is carving out space for rural Oregonians to grapple with our unique legacy of systemic racism and what that means for our present in ways that are honest and sometimes really messy. The show comes at these conversations from multiple angles, everything from how we can begin to heal from our collective, social, and generational traumas to what 2020 has taught us about race. Lanisha is a self-identified brown-skinned girl and community organizer in Tillamook County, a county that is nearly 94% white. She considers the radio show an extension of her organizing and the real-life conversations she's having off the air with her friends and neighbors up and down the coast. When we first started working on this episode, we originally planned to highlight bits of Lanisha's show while also playing clips from my interview with her. But fitting that all into 29 minutes just didn't feel right. It meant we had to cut up too many stories in ways that changed the original meaning. And that's the exact opposite of what we're trying to do here. So instead, we're excited to feature Rural Race Talks over two episodes. In this month's episode, you're going to hear sections of Lanisha's show, particularly her episode from November 4th, 2020, where she models what it looks like to make space on the airwaves for meeting people where they're at. In the next month, we'll go behind the scenes to learn more about Lanisha's organizing, how Rural Race Talks came to be, and what it's like doing a talk show in a small town. Enjoy the show!
So today, as we begin this conversation, I am going to ask the following from you and from myself. When sharing an experience, please use I statements. And please remember that no question is a stupid question. We are here to learn and grow together. Please know that being uncomfortable is okay. It's never easy to look within ourselves for answers and that aren't always easy to find. It's okay to say, I don't know. And most importantly, we do value our whole community and not just those who agree with us. So with that, today's topic is about the history of race. And the first question I'll pose as we begin is, why do some believe teaching about the history of America and its relationship to race is anti-American? I love doing root cause analysis. From my speech and debate classes in high school to some of my corporate experience and project management, I look for what's at the core of an issue I'm discussing or the problem I'm trying to solve. As I've been doing a lot of research on the history of race, I'd like to share and discuss with you what I've discovered as I look to find new truths by dismantling some of the lies we've been told. I recently watched a video on the origin of race in the USA, produced by PBS. It first notes that race was not always considered a biological or genetic category. I've done some research before about race just being, or the color of my skin just being skin deep, but it's hard to remember that sometimes when we've been forced to believe generalizations about what the color of my skin means. The video on PBS then discusses the earliest definitions of race before it was used to define genetics and physical appearance. So what was the first definition of race? Originally, it was used to describe kinship or a group affiliation. In the 16th century, it was used not to describe physical traits or behavior, but it was meant to describe people who were all members of the same household, group, or shared a common ancestor, or also familial kinship. In the colonial era, there was a shift in the idea of race in the 17th and 18th century. They attributed this to the rise of global capitalism backed by slavery and colonialism in a period known as the Enlightenment period. This is where pseudoscience, which is the collection of beliefs or practices mistakenly regarded as being based on scientific methods, were introduced based on physical appearance, the behavior, and legal rights of people of color. Graham, yes, you got a question or a thought prop right there?
Well, you've triggered all kinds of thoughts for me this morning, Lanisha. And I kind of want to go to your question about teaching about our history and the idea that that would be un-American, right? Mm-hmm. Can you give me a little bit more of an example of what you mean? I have some ideas to share, but I would like to hear more about, you know, where you've heard people say that it's un-American and who that's coming from.
I hear it a lot of places outside of, my normal social, and I will say even within my normal social circles. And when I say I hear it saying, being said that it's un-American, it's like it's not patriotic because it's, you know, it's our history and we're so beyond that, and that's not who we are. This generation have anything to do with that. So what's the point in still bringing it up? And it seems like there's this big pushback to actually have a conversation where we talk about our history. Because one, I think some of us don't want to acknowledge it. And this is just my perception. Some people don't want to acknowledge it. Some people have been taught that it's nothing to talk about, that it is something that's being blown out of proportion under the guise of being patriotic. It's not patriotic to talk about the history of slavery and certain things. Even in just some of, I think, how we are being educated and what we are being educated about, it is really distilled a divide between what we believe is right or wrong in our fabric.
One of the things that I would like to see in these conversations is more people wanting to know what it's like to walk in somebody else's shoes. And so what would it be like to be a black person who's pulled over by a police officer. What's the difference in that experience between being a white person and being a black person? Because it is a very different experience. The things that go through your head, the concerns that you have, the potential outcomes are very different. And that is the kind of thing that should make us all angry.
Graham, I'll tell you, one of the things that makes me angry is the fact that I don't know my family history.
Right.
You know, we fail to remember. I fail to remember, or actually I'll say I want to not remember that my family history was taken away from me. It was not legal for black people to be born in hospitals in this country and for records to be kept. And so whereas I know who my great grandparents were on my mom's side, both her mom and dad, I don't know much of their story outside of what was related to me by my grandparents and their siblings before they died. But really, you know, not knowing, I can't trace. And, you know, everybody says, well, you know, you come from Africa because your skin is brown. And if it wasn't for a DNA test that was I did a couple of years ago, I wouldn't even be able to trace that. Whereas white people, all, you know, my friends, they can always tell me where their family came from.
Right.
You know, what part of Europe or what part of wherever they know all, like they can trace 5, 6, 7 generations back and know their history, the roots of their existence. And that's one thing that's always troubled me is I will never know the root of my existence.
Well, and you have a right to be angry about that. The other piece about education that I was thinking about is in reflecting on my education, we read some books, we watched some movies, and they had an emphasis on slavery. And I'm trying to remember if there was a much of an emphasis on black history that was positive or inspirational or, you know, that highlighted the incredible works of African Americans in United States and world history. And does that paint the wrong picture, or does that reinforce a stereotype or reinforce a relationship because it's something that you're forced to look at over and over again? And I think slavery is kind of America's original sin. I think that's a good way of putting that. Never should have happened, but it did happen. And so you can't say that it didn't, but where is the balance between focusing on the dark past versus also looking for the inspirational past or that past where you can find some sense of history or some sense of culture? Do you have thoughts on that? And then we do have a caller that's ready to come on.
And just real quickly, I'll answer as I can. So there's a quote by David Roediger, I'm probably saying his name wrong, but he says, "The world got along without race for the overwhelming majority of its history. The U.S. has never been without it."
It's a good quote.
Yes. And as you're right, I'm learning, even as I'm learning and unlearning things right now, I'm trying to define again how I shift my own narrative. For instance, I am now calling myself a brown skinned girl rather than a black girl. I've never understood why I've been called a black girl. It's always bothered me, but yet it was a label put on me that I've had to live in. And I'm even personally trying to identify where can I help be a part of that change, where maybe we need to take less focus on the product of my skin. And like Dr. King said, the content of my character, because that's definitely more important. And that the generalizations that even I've learned based on being a brown skinned girl is not true based on science. So with that, let's see who's on the phone.
Uh-oh. Oh, looks like they got tired of waiting. I was too long winded. We invite you to call back 503-325-0010. You're listening to Rural Race Talks with your host, Lanisha Duke.
Yeah, and you and Graham, let's look at even the construct of athleticism in this country, right? Especially with all of the social justice movements that we've seen most recently, because I won't say first in general, but first, most recently with Colin Kaepernick, how that got divided and twisted and became all about nationalism. And even my husband and I, some of our early conversations in our relationship about Colin Kaepernick, the first question I asked was, when did you first find out about Colin Kaepernick? Was it when he first began taking a knee, or was it after he started being called a SOB? Because then that was very public. And so I asked him, when did Colin Kaepernick begin kneeling? And my husband really didn't have an answer, you know, because he thought it was very recent. And I don't know if most people know that Colin Kaepernick began kneeling while Barack Obama was still in office. And so he had been doing it for some time before it became a big deal. All right, Graham, it looks like we have a caller on.
Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead.
I am excited about this program, and I wanted to share something that I learned about recently, which is called the doctrine of discovery, and specifically the researcher is Steve Newcomb, but it's kind of really opened my eyes to his thought that what he really thinks of it is now the doctrine of domination, and that, you know, he has documentation that goes back to like the 1300s, and how, you know, that the world has basically been, you know, kind of under system of domination, and it has really, you know, kind of helped me to open my eyes and see, you know, what we're dealing with.
So to clarify, the doctrine of discovery is sort of the context for colonialism, right?
Exactly. It was a document put out by the Catholic Church, the Pope, precisely, you know, stating that if you're not Christian around the world, that you can go and discover countries and dominate them, and if they don't turn Christian, which most indigenous and a lot of people, you know, didn't understand what they were trying to do, you know, they could take those countries over. And, you know, it has persisted and lived on, you know, ever since.
That's for sure. And it's very unfortunate to even start discovering how religion weaponized race as well, and how it was used. I have a question for you. Have you been able to identify, as you're learning about this, how to make some adjustments, not just in your own thought process, but in some of what you are doing to actively engage in being the change, if you are?
Well, yeah, at the moment, I've started a group, a dialogue group online, and we're getting ready for our second session. But yeah, we're trying to, you know, look at questions like, you know, people that have historically been in the category of privileged, and, you know, really kind of are in that category, kind of how to see, you know, what is really happening as far as domination and, you know, all of that goes, but also for us who are in the oppressed category, one of the things they talked about was how to, I don't even know how to say this, it's like we've been imprinted with how many centuries now of this oppression, and we have a lot of that domination in us, and we need to address, you know, how to, before we even start trying to address it, we need to, you know, look at ourselves and how to, you know, kind of unimprint that domination, or, you know, I don't even know how to do it. I definitely, you know, seen, you know, seen some of it in myself. So it's just an inquiry, you know, at the moment about, you know, how to address it.
Most definitely. And I just wanted to know, where are you calling in from?
Central Oregon.
Central Oregon. Awesome. In case you have other neighbors in Central Oregon listening, would you like to invite people? Is this a group that you want to invite people to join, or is it a like a private friend group? And it's okay either way.
Yeah, right now it's just a learning group. So once, you know, we kind of figure out how to do this, then, you know, it would be something then would become maybe more public.
Well, that'll be great. And please keep in touch with us here at the station and let us know, you know, how it's going, because I'm very interested to know how several conversations are happening right now, because there's so much to talk about, which is even some of the not problem, but some of what I see in trying to do a loaded radio show in an hour time slot once a month. It's like there's so much to talk about and it could be all over the map, but trying to stay focused and hopefully yet be able to still have a place to build from.
Yes.
So thank you very much for calling in.
Okay. Thank you.
One of the things I want to talk about is language. I've been thinking a lot about, again, what it means to be considered part of an underrepresented group or a marginalized group. And so I'm going to share with you some of the thought process I've been going through, specifically as it comes to some of the oppressive language, I think, that came out of some of that domination that we're talking about. But first, I wanted to listen to Miss Aretha Franklin. I know most of you may know this song being recorded by Sam Cooke, but Miss Aretha Franklin's version of A Change Is Going to Come stirs my heart in such a moving way. I wanted to share it with you today. So enjoy.
I want to say something that touched my heart. And it began this way. And just like the river, I've been running ever since. He said it's been a long time coming, but I know my change is gonna come. Oh yeah.
Many of you guys know a change is coming. Sometimes it's easier to see, but I can feel it. Miss Aretha felt it. Thank you again for listening to Rural Race Talks on Coast Radio 91.9 in Astoria, 89.5 in Tillamook. If you want to call in and talk to us, the number is 503-325-0010. Oh gosh. Again, there's so much to unpack, and I can't believe we've almost hit our hour. And so we've got 5 minutes left, And I want to leave you with a bit of encouragement. Over the last couple of days, I've been reading and rereading Dr. Maya Angelou's poem, Still I Rise. And so I recite that for you this morning. You may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may trod me in the very dirt, but still, like dust, I'll rise. Does my sassiness upset you? Why are you best beset with gloom? 'Cause I walk like I've got oil wells pumping in my living room. Just like moons and like suns, with the certainty of tides. Just like hopes springing high, still I rise. Did you want to see me broken? Bowed head and lowered eyes, shoulders falling down like teardrops, weakened by my soulful cries. Does my haughtiness offend you? Don't you take it awful hard, 'cause I laugh like I've got gold mines digging in my own backyard. You may shoot me with your words. You may cut me with your eyes. You may kill me with your hatefulness, but still, like air, I'll rise. Does my sexiness upset you? Does it come as a surprise that I dance like I've got diamonds at the meeting of my thighs? Out of the huts of history's shame, I rise. Up from a past that's rooted in pain, I rise. I'm a black ocean, leaping and wide. Welling and swelling, I bear in the tide. Leaving behind nights of terror and fear, I rise. Into a daybreak that's wondrously clear, I rise. Bringing the gifts that my ancestors gave, I am the dream and the hope of the slave. I rise, I rise, I rise. Once again, that was And Still I Rise by Dr. Maya Angelou. I want to thank you again for joining us this morning. Feel free to reach out to me on Facebook, by email. I appreciate you for taking the time to embark on this journey with me. If you will note, I will not always confront and disagree on publicly or anything, because sometimes as I'm learning, it is important to just hear what people have to say and listen without always needing to jump to a defense and respond. And so I just want to encourage you to keep listening to your own heart, and then keep listening to the heart of others. And so, Graham, do you have any final thoughts before we move to a song?
Just want to say what a great show it was today, Lanisha. Thank you so much for being a part of KMUN and bringing your work to our listeners.
Thank you. And I want to say, I have been having dance parties in my living room by myself. I listen to a lot of Pandora music, and every so often something will come on that moves me up out my seat, and I just dance by myself. And so I have a feeling some of y'all need to get up off the couch. If you're not driving, or if you are driving, just turn that volume up a little longer as we go out with some more Aretha Franklin with Rock Steady. This has been Lanisha Duke. I'll see you next month, and I love you all.
You've been listening to Rural Roots Rising in our first ever community media spotlight. This spotlight featured Lanisha Duke's Rural Race Talks, a call-in talk show on Coast Community Radio. Join us next month when we go in-depth with Lanisha to talk about what motivated her to start the show, and in true small-town fashion, how her neighbors respond to the show in the grocery store. If you'd like to hear more episodes of Rural Race Talks, head to coastradio.org. This season of Rural Roots Rising, we are focused on sharing out exciting and experimental rural media content and helping folks get started in making their own media. If you have a show, know of one that should be featured here, or you want support in starting one, let us know at info@ruralrootsrising.org. We'd love to connect. Rural Roots Rising is created by the Rural Organizing Project. As always, thanks for listening. Rock steady, baby. We'll be right back.
This is KBOO Portland. I'm Raj Patel, and you're listening to the only radio station named after a kind of marijuana.
Produced at the studios of KBOO Radio in Portland, Oregon, this is Free Culture Radio. Free Culture Radio neither promotes the use of any drugs nor condemns people for being involved in drugs. To the